Mississippi State Florida, lost their coach.
Dan Mullen goes to Florida. And seen this morning that Mississippi State has made an offer to Jeremy Pruitt,
yep,
the defensive coordinator for the University of Alabama, and even said that Tennessee was interested in him. So we're going to see what happens there. But, you know, I mean, this is like a yearly thing, though. Coaches are going to get kicked out. And but as you know, I mean, this is just a fact. You anybody in the audience can agree with me or disagree with me. But the bottom line is, these other colleges want Nick Saban's assistant coaches. Yep. Bottom line, that's not a big brag factor. It's just a fact. And so, you know, if you can ever be the elite to be an assistant coach at Alabama, and you do a good job, you will be a head coach somewhere.
Especially if Kirby Smart was to pull it off this weekend, then that's just.
I know. Well, that'd be something.
Yeah.
And look, even Lane Kiffin goes to the small college, and I think he's lost one game this year, and that's it. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But my prediction, Auburn will definitely beat Georgia in the SEC championship. That's my prediction. And if I had to take a guess, I will say they will win by 14 points. So we'll see what happens. And I still believe, with a little bit of faith, that Alabama can still be picked for the Final Four. We'll see.
It's definite. If TCU beats Oklahoma, it's definite. It will definitely happen. Yeah. But we need that to happen. You know, the other question is Ohio State beating Wisconsin. And you got a two-loss team, even though they're conference champions.
Right.
But they got an argument. If Auburn wins, you got another two-loss team that's a conference champion. It's going to be tough. I was looking on the – and they haven't done the rankings yet. I mean, they're doing the rankings now, I guess, but they haven't got down to the top four yet.
And you know what? I don't mind going to a bowl game. I'd rather not. You know, I'd rather be in that top four and then hope that we could pull it out. But you can't.
They couldn't beat Clemson. They couldn't beat Oklahoma. Like they played the other night.
Right.
They'd have a tough time beating Miami to play the other way they played the other night.
Yeah.
Wisconsin.
Now they're still tough teams out there, even with the one losses. I mean, they're still tough, so. But, you know, Syracuse beats Clemson. Who would have ever thought that would have happened?
Pittsburgh, nice off Miami.
Yeah.
And Vandy destroys Tennessee.
I didn't even see the final score. It was 14-14 the last time I seen
it. Oh, they destroyed them.
Really?
Yes, it was like they beat them by like 30 or 40 points. Uh-huh. Yes, it was. It was big.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it.
Oh, so do I. I hate to be that way, but I enjoy watching Tennessee get beat. Why? Because I never liked Phil Fulmer, number one. He's a rat, and he loves to tell on other colleges. Okay, I don't like the way that the University of Tennessee handled the situation with Johnny Majors when he was in the hospital, and fire him, basically, and hire Phil Fulmer. So I thought that was dirty on their part, and I had a bad taste in my mouth when they'd done that to him. Even though I wasn't a Tennessee fan, it still was wrong for how they treated him. So that's why I've got a little anger with the University of Tennessee.
Okay, well, I was wrong. It's 42-24. So they beat them by 18 points. Wow. But I thought they beat them like in the 50s to 20-something.
So that was Vanderbilt's first SEC win of the year, and Tennessee had zero. So there you go. Melvin, can you really?
Oh, I love it.
As you know, as a big wheel at one of these universities in the SEC, and you don't win an SEC game, how does that make you feel?
I mean, getting beat by the bottom feeders, Missouri and Vandy. Yeah,
and Florida. I mean that. Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Dan Mullen will do a good job at Florida. I have no doubt. But man, they've got to do some. They got to do something.
Yeah, they'll have to fork out the money so he can get some good coordinators.
And I didn't see what they actually offered him. I don't know, but I'm sure they offered him $1 to $2 million more a year than what he was making at Mississippi State.
Yeah, probably.
And you know what? I really didn't think that he would leave Mississippi State. So it had to be a substantial raise for him to go, because I really think that he felt at home there. So we'll see. But you know what? Money talks. Yeah. That's the bottom line. And there goes my phone ringing. So that's live radio right there.
Live.
Live on Facebook. Somebody
Hey, somebody had commented on one of the posts. Was it yours or Danielle's about they want Beth? Who's Beth? They wanted to ask a question. Did she ever send y'all a message?
I don't know.
All right. She wanted to call in. I don't know why people are scared to call in. They shouldn't be scared to call in and talk to us.
256-737-9505 is the call-in line. If you have any type of legal question, Melvin will be happy to answer it for you. So
that's 256-737-9505. And please quit calling back.
Yeah. People. Somebody wants to talk to Big D, evidently.
Yes.
It could be a DJ gig. You better answer it. I need money for Christmas. Melvin, I've done so much Christmas shopping over the last week or two. It's unbelievable.
It's been Black Friday.
And you know what?
We did go shopping Black Friday.
Yeah, we did. We went down to Birmingham, and it really wasn't that crazy.
You didn't get in the fight at River Chase?
No, I heard about it, though. And actually seen some video of it. They had several ladies on the ground. And I mean, really? That's insane.
Oh, I love it, man. 10 years ago, heck, I don't even been that long ago, at the old Walmart over here. I say the old one, the older Walmart here. Yeah, people used to go nuts.
Look,
yeah. I mean, they'd be like ready to go in the front door, sitting, tramping over everybody and knocking all the waffle makers down, and people be fighting over them. It was great.
Because I think at that one time, that craze was the Tickle Me Elmo.
Probably so. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, people were fighting. I'm sure Brenda fought over a Tickle Me Elmo also. I bet she was scrapping with some old ladies, pulling her hair. Brenda is actually on the line. Go ahead, Brenda.
Hi, Daryl.
So, Brenda, did you ever fight over a Tickle Me Elmo?
Listen, I do no in-store shopping. Everything I do is online.
But
I don't mess with crowds.
But listen, back in the day, you had to go shopping.
Somebody, so no.
Before online shopping.
Yes. Before online shopping.
Everything I do is online.
Before.
10 years ago, we're talking. We're not talking now.
Before. I don't give a crap if I have to pay $2 extra. I'll do it.
Well, I hear her say she cracked somebody in the head.
Yeah, I'm sure she has cracked some people in the head before. So
No, because I don't do in-store shopping.
So look, Brenda.
But no, dear, I want to thank you for being so such a good sport. Too many people take this game too seriously. I got the privilege of being in Auburn this weekend with my son. This is his last year at Auburn. Right, he was raised Alabama fan, just like his daddy, and he decided to go to Auburn, even though, you know, yes, I'm alumni, but he chose that himself. No peer pressure from me, or parent pressure, but he loved it. He's been down there, and he'll be graduating this year, this next spring, thank God.
Congratulations to him.
But anyway, it was so much fun just getting to be there with him, even though I had no tickets, I was not at the game. We went out Friday night, had a blast, and then Saturday, he went to the game, we all stayed at the apartment, and just knowing that he was getting to experience that, because my first year at Auburn was when we played Alabama in 89. First time ever in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So, it just kind of all came to full circle for me, for him to get to experience that.
That's
and
awesome.
I was just tickled to death, but he had fun and it worked out. But of course, it was a rough time coming home.
Right. Oh, I can imagine.
To my Bama Hubs, but you know.
Look, I'm 51 years old and I've never been to an Alabama Auburn game. How sad is that?
It's awesome. It's awesome.
I can imagine.
And to be at one, you know, the first time ever in Jordan Hare Stadium
was
to be a part of that history.
Oh, I'm sure. Look, I'm a realist. That's exactly what I am. And I'm not going to bash Auburn Tigers because they are part of Alabama. I don't care how anybody looks at it as a fan. They are from this state. I love the Auburn Tigers, and I love to see them win. And that's just the bottom line.
But too many don't.
Oh, I know.
I mean, too many have already said right away, go Dogs. I hope you get your
food. Whatever.
Come out for revenge. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I used to be bad, especially when I was a student at Auburn. And before Wade and I got married, it was just like, you know, I was die hard. I went out there and played every game. But you grow up and you have kids and you realize the importance in life and a ball game's not it.
Right.
So, you know, you just kind of like, it's just easier if the other team wins too. Harmony in the house. So, you know, you just, I don't know.
Because I've always said in my thinking, the best athlete ever was Bo Jackson. Bottom line.
Oh, he's awesome.
I mean, he was
And he got all the players on the sidelines. during the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said something to him about, you know, don't you be, you know, celebrating or don't you be doing whatever until, you know, there's zeros on the time clock.
Right.
And so I just want, and Charles Barkley, I'm sorry, I know a lot of people don't like him, but I think he is hilarious.
Oh, he is funny.
And what he said on game day cracked me up.
I missed that.
Oh, you missed it? You didn't see it?
Yes, I didn't see game day.
Well, you need to see the part about Charles Barkley, because he basically said, you know, 3 years ago, whatever, it was the kick six. This year, it's going to be the kick ass.
Well, that pretty well happened, so.
And it happened. Yeah. So it was great. It was awesome. And everybody on the whole panel had picked Alabama.
Yep. Yeah, I hate that, too.
Yeah, Charles is kind of like me. He tells it like it is.
He does. He does not care.
He has no filter.
No, he does not. And
no. But anyway, but I just appreciate y'all being so non-ugly about everything. Like some.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure that there are some people that actually lose their friends because of the game and that crazy.
People lose their life, don't they? When there's some people that shot, they get shot. Yeah. Yeah, people shoot each other over this game.
Yeah. And lose sleep, and lose, it's to me, it's as much as I love my alma mater, it's, you know, if they lose, I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Yeah, life goes on.
So,
tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, exactly. Y'all have a great night.
You too. See you later.
Bye.
That was Brenda from Coleman. She usually will come in sometimes and co-host with us, and what a great lady she is. And her dad was a teacher of mine at Coleman High School back in the 80s, and what a great man he was, Mr. Donald Cuz. Rest in peace. He's a great man. So, hey, look, we're going to go to break here in a few minutes, but why don't we go ahead and get started on what we're actually going to talk about. And so I actually seen it on Facebook a night or two ago. And, Melvin, so we have this young, I'm going to call him a kid, this young kid from Hanceville arrested for messing with a child, bonds out, and gets arrested again, I guess over this past weekend.
For the same stuff.
For the same thing. Messing with a minor under the age of 12. I don't even have words for this. Because I know what I would like to, you know, what I would like to do. But I guess that's uncivil. You know, one of my things, Melvin, has always been quit arresting these people. Okay?
Just kill them.
Just put them out there in the middle of town and let everybody take care of them. And we're not out no money, you know, and let law be done. Let justice be done, because this is pathetic. What if this young man gets out again and does it again? Then what are we going to say?
And he may not. Who knows? The little article, I don't know nothing about the case other than what I read in the article. I don't know if he's been appointing somebody to represent him. I know I don't represent him, so I can talk a little bit about it. The article said it's two different victims. When I read the article, what it appears to me is this. He's charged with rape second and sodomy second. He's 20 years old. So what that means is the alleged victim is a female, because it's rape, and between the age of 12 and 16. So less than 16. They're not 16 years old yet, but they're over the age of 12. So, or they're 12 years of age or older, actually. Let me get it right. So, he's done things with this one, and then he's bonded out. He's allowed to be bonded, whether people agree with it or not. He's allowed to bond, so he's bonded out until his trial on this case. And in the meantime, he gets arrested again. Now, this is for a charge with sex abuse, which is touching of a child less than 12. So, here's the question. Did he commit a new crime, or did he just get charged for another crime?
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
It does. It makes sense.
Yes. So here's the deal. If you're out on bond, which he's out on bond awaiting trial, if he's just charged with another crime that was committed prior to this first one, then that's not enough to revoke his bond. Okay? He gets an opportunity to bond out again on the new charge, and instead of having two charges against him, he's going to have three charges against him.
Okay.
Now then, if his poor character got out and committed a new crime while he's out on bond, then he's in a mess, because what's going to happen, the state's going to file a motion, judge revoke his bond on the prior charge because we have evidence that he's committed a new crime,
right?
And the judge will do it more than likely, and then he'll sit in jail and wait to his trial date.
And how long can that be?
These cases take a while. I mean, they take a while to develop, but I mean, realistically, a year, year and a half it can be, wow. And it can be even longer than that. Listen, we have, people don't realize this, and it goes both ways as far as whoever maybe the fault it is, or reasoning, or whatever else. We have a backlog of murder cases right now. I mean, that's 2, 3, 4 years old. Yes, that's going to get tried. They're going to start getting tried here in a couple of weeks. There's going to start, I mean, for the next probably 3 or 4 jury terms, which is going to be through mid of next year, there's going to probably be murder trials. Wow. To get some of these murder trials. So people like this may sit there and have to wait for their day in court.
So they're just going to sit in the Coleman County Detention Center?
He may or may not sit in the Coleman County Detention Center. Like I said, it depends if he gets able to bond out on the new charge, and does he be able to stay out on bond on the prior charge. Cause, and all that, and what that means, the only difference is, when was the alleged second time incident occurred? Did it occur prior to his first arrest, or is it a new charge? If he's got a new charge, then he can get arrested again.
I guess what I don't understand is what he got arrested for now was something that he done prior. So how can that actually come about that you can just come up and say, all right, well, he's charged with this now? Why wasn't he charged with it the first
time?
Because
they probably didn't know it. They probably learned about it during the investigation.
Okay.
Yeah, more than likely, you know, in the paper it talks about the Child Advocacy Center. The Child Advocacy Center is a group of professional people that does forensic interviews that gets information from children about abuse, any type of abuse. It can be physical abuse, sexual abuse, whatever else, but they're... I think all of them are ladies over there. They're good ladies. They're good people. They're trained specifically how to ask questions and get questions and help the investigators.
Gotcha.
So they don't really get out and investigate crimes. They're trained how to get a child in there, no matter what age they are, talk to them and find out what that child has to say. So it could have been that during the investigation for the first set of crimes that he was arrested for, something else came out.
Gotcha.
They went and talked to a... It's just, I wouldn't be surprised if this is not siblings. This is like maybe two sisters or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe some house. It's a resident. Sometimes these kind of cases are resident people. This person that's charged lives inside this house. Been messing around with one or two more people in there. And have no idea. I don't know anything about this case. But that could have been, you know, it could have been neighbors. It could have been somewhere he's lived at. It could have been people have the access and they just do crazy stuff.
So why is it that you can... have $1 million bond for methamphetamine in Coleman County, but a pedophile gets out on a $55,000 bond for putting his hand.
It is
in
crazy. I know it is.
It just ticks me off.
The bond and stuff is crazy. So I think is it break time? Then we'll talk a little bit more about kind of the charges and what someone in his situation, not necessarily this guy, but someone in his situation, what he's facing and what he's looking at.
Sounds good. You are listening to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings here on Understanding the Law, live 95.5 Coleman's Independent Radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net. You've thought about it. You've talked about it.
You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
A chill is in the air. The leaves are falling. And that means the holidays are right around the corner. The holiday season is the best time to help out Coleman Charities while also getting that much-needed end-of-the-year tax break and maybe helping out your business as well. Consider sponsoring an hour of Christmas music with Live 95. Details are available on the Live 95 Facebook page, online at live95coleman.com, or email us at studio@live95coleman.com. Thanks for listening to Live 95. And we hope you have the best holidays ever. Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. We've been discussing the young man from Hansville that has been charged on two different occasions with sex crimes involving minors. Melvin, let me ask you this. What if you actually represented this young man? Tell me kind of where you would go with this.
Well, the first thing you do is... And it doesn't matter. It doesn't necessarily mean this crime. It
exactly.
can be any type of crime.
Exactly.
You're going to get the charges. So you'll get the complaint, get a copy of the complaint, and it will, like with minor children, usually the complaints, it's going to state the minor's initials, and it's going to state their date of birth.
Okay.
In some cases, depending on the age of the kid, you can't access the stuff. It's not public record. You
right.
can't find it. The courts will have it sealed. But in most of the cases, you read the complaint, and it's there, you know. So you go talk to the guy and say, all right, first thing you tell him is you don't need to say nothing, because anything you're going to say, you're just going to dig yourself in the hole. So you need to keep
right.
your mouth shut.
Right.
That's just for anybody with any crime. That's what you tell them. and then you just want to find out who are these people and how are you connected with them? You know, what is the connection?
Right.
And then you find out that kind of evidence, and then I've represented probably 50 type of, at least 50 different people, probably more than that in 15 years, charged with sex crimes, probably more than that, probably 100, 150.
Wow.
But I might have had two of them that's ever admitted.
Right.
You know, to me.
Exactly.
You know, every one of them denies me.
Exactly.
So I don't try to form an opinion, is this person guilty or not, because that's not my job.
Right.
Because if I start doing that, if I start forming my own opinion, oh, you're guilty, well, I've got kids. You know what I'm saying? It would
right.
be hard for me to sit there and do my job representing a guy that I think is guilty.
Right.
It's not fair. So, because everybody, I know people's listening, and everybody first thing thinks, how can you represent a guy like
right.
this?
Exactly.
I have a job just like you have a job, and we do it.
Right.
Don't mean you like it or whatever else.
Right.
Sometimes you just have to do them, but... I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You know, if they tell me stuff, then they tell me stuff. I don't really want to hear it, but they
right.
tell me stuff. But usually I'll look at the complaint, how are you connected, And then the biggest question, and that's what juries want to know, and that's what the state really has to prove in there, what's the motive? Why would this child lie? Because that's what prosecutors always say. They say, look, this child has stated this on a film, you know, recorded at the Child Advocacy Center, or they got up here and testified to this stuff. So you got to ask yourself, what does this child benefit from going up here lying about this kid?
Right,
well, that's when the prosecution does that, that's a hard thing to get around with a jury. So I'm like, what is the motive? What's this? You know, and almost all of them, they say, well, and sometimes it is. It comes out to be, it looks like that's what the facts are. It's true. It involves a custody dispute. You know, it's an ex-wife, right. You know, with a stepchild or something like that.
Right.
You know, that's kind of how they come out. So you hear what they say. And then I always tell them, so I look at, that's what you say, that's your story, how are we going to prove that? Even though we don't have the burden of proof in this case, the juries want to know how, you know, they want to see something that we can use to prove
that
this is the motive, that you didn't do it. Even though you don't have the burden, you're going to have to prove it. So you're going to have to start finding people, you know, and then you look in the allegations, hey, has these allegations been made before? These cases, definitely DHR is involved. There's no doubt. DHR has been involved in this case in some form or fashion because they're also investigating even though these children, because they are children, they're less than 16, they are victims, they're going to investigate the family and say, all right, why, how, if this child's telling the truth, how did this happen? How did you allow this to happen? Why is your child over here with this person?
Right.
So DHR gets involved. So we get DHR records. And sometimes DHR does a real good job. They investigate a lot of people. They'll go talk to a lot of people. And you have everything right there in front of you. So we'll get DHR records and look and see what everybody else has said. This guy's 20 years old. Eventually, he's charged right now, more than like I know he is. He's probably charged in district court. So his case is sitting in district court. Eventually, he's going to get indicted, more than likely. And then at that point, you have to plead guilty or not guilty. Since he's 20 years old, he is entitled, since he's not charged with a capital crime or a Class A crime, he is entitled to a youthful offender here. And so he's going to apply for youthful offender, saying, look, judge, do you know my age? I'm less than 21. I'm charged with these crimes. Treat me like a youthful offender so that this is not going to be on my record.
Right.
He's got a 0.00001% chance of being a youthful offender. He's going to be tried as an adult. I mean, that's just the realistic. That's what's going to happen. So you do that, you know, you try to figure out with these people, because there are some people, I've known in some cases, I've probably been involved, I can't think off the top of my head, of you really want to check their IQs and the mental capacity of these people, because some people is, I know of a case in particular, of a person that was charged with this type of stuff that really is mentally, has a lot of mental problems, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, that's things you got to bring out, you know. Did they, because all of these, any type of sex crime, every bit of it is an intentional. You can't negligently do it or recklessly do it or whatever else. You have to prove intent, and you have to prove, I mean, the state has to prove sexual gratification as part of the offense. So if you got somebody that's really got some major mental issues and major something going on, and something happens, you know, I mean, that's something you have to look into.
Right.
To see what the cause is, but eventually, this case is going to be set on a trial docket. It's going to be set on a pleading docket. The state's going to come back and say, "Hey, if this person will plead to this, we'll do this." Which means you plead to one charge, we'll dismiss another charge. You plead to both charges, we'll give this sentence or whatever else. This guy's not going to be offered probation. He's going to be offered a sentence. These sentences in sex crimes, in the state of Alabama, and probably most of the states now, a majority of the states in the United States, they're day-for-day crimes. So for instance, I plead guilty to a drug crime, some kind of drug offense, 10 years. Year and a half at the most, probably, I don't even know if you spend a year and a half in prison, you're out. You're pro'd out. You're done. These cases, you plead 10 years on November the 28th, 2017, you get out of prison November 28th, 2027.
So you're going to do the
10 You years. Do 10 years, day for day, every single bit. Okay. You don't even get a day gotcha. Break on it, yeah. So
that's the way it is on all sex crimes.
At any sex crimes.
Okay.
So it is tough. So whatever sentence they got, they serve. They serve day for day. But it's like I was telling, I guess me and Danielle was talking about it in office today. Regardless, due to the age, anybody less than 18, so if you're 18, you don't fit this, but anybody less than 18 can be treated as a juvenile sex offender. And unless there's some specific crimes like forcible rape, or rape of a child under, 5 years old, 6 years old, or something real serious. Like, I'm not saying that none of them's real serious. I'm not saying, I'm not discounting. You understand what I'm saying? If it's a forcible thing, something forcible, if it's anything other than forcible, then after 10 years, they'll be treated as a juvenile sex offender, which means in 10 years, the registration stuff stops. The sex offender registration stuff stops.
Okay.
If they're charged with a forcible type stuff, then I think the statute states like 20, they're on it for life, but after 25 years, if they don't have anything, they've done everything they're supposed to, they don't have nothing new come up, then they can, after 25 years of serving that.
Wow.
Yes, as a sex offender. Then you can ask to be recused, be removed from the notification part. It's a lot of technical stuff and the Notification Act, everybody says, oh, that's great, it's good, it protects everybody, and it does. The overall thing does, but, man, there is so much technical stuff with it, and it changes yearly. And for some people that need to be on it, there's some people that just don't, but that's the bigger. I mean, going to prison is not going to be fun. But when you get out of prison and every day for the rest of your life, you're tagged with being a sex offender. And then every year, you're going to have at least four different times you're going to have to report to a sheriff's department or wherever else, and go up there and report and do whatever else. If you're on the Notification Act, wherever you live at, the people around you, there's flyers sent out. They're notified that you're moving into that residence. You're restricted from not being around churches, daycares, hanging around parks, which is good. You shouldn't be hanging around parks being convicted of a sex offense. Anytime you move, anytime you're out of the state for more than three, or out of your residence for more than three, if you go on vacation and go offshore for a week, you're going to have to report to Coleman County Sheriff's, I'm going to be gone for more than 3 days. Then you have to go to Gulf Shores and tell them, hey, I'm a registered sex offender from Coleman County. I'm going to be here for 7 days. I mean, it's wow. A lot. It's a lot, and I mean, these people get punished for life. So some people say, well, they deserve it. Some people do. There's no doubt. I know of cases I handled, them people deserve every bit of it. I know. But again, let's go back to this guy. This guy's 20 years old. 20 years old.
And he has ruined his own life.
And we don't know the facts of his case. Exactly. Hey, we may read a story 2 months from now that all this was made up and he gets dismissed and, he's wrongfully accused and all that stuff. It may be done.
You never know because it's happened many times before.
He may get tried and he may get found not guilty. These victims sometimes in these cases don't want to go through a trial. So people say, well, how do they offer plea deals? Well, if you have a victim that says, I lived through this torment, whatever was happening to me for 3 or 4 years, that's behind me. I don't want to go talk about it again in front of people.
Right.
And that's how you get, a lot of times that's what happens in these plea deals in these cases. Sometimes victims move off. Sometimes victims, unfortunately, I've known this happen, sometimes victims, these type of crimes devastate them so bad they get on drugs and everything else, and then they're in prison.
Wow.
And it's time to go to trial and they're in prison because they're out on drugs and stuff. So it is tough. I hate it that a 20-year-old, 19-year-old, 18-year-old, 17-year-old gets put in these situations.
I would think, just me, myself, that would be the hardest thing probably that I would have to deal with as an attorney.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody, when we go to court, like, I can't remember when the next arraignment, we just had an arraignment docket. But if we go over to court for arraignments, you know, a lot of times, you know, they'll have a list of the cases there. You look at them like, oh my God, that's a sex case. You know, when a judge gets ready to call for an attorney, you kind of disappear. You got to go to the bathroom or something. It's like not standing out there in the courtroom get appointed the cases, you know, because nobody likes them.
I can imagine.
They're ugly. There's nothing that good comes out of. Nothing good. Because, you know, I believe some people think, well, the victim gets to tell their story. I don't think you realize that. I mean, can you imagine talking about some of the most private things?
Exactly.
Ugly things that's happened and getting in front of a group of people. You're already scared.
Right.
And you're having to tell that story again in front of people. It's just not good. It's not good. So it is bad, and he's going to have a long road in front of him.
Look, if I was an attorney, I'd rather be an ambulance chaser.
You're right.
Any other case would be good with me, but wow, that's horrible to deal with.
Yeah. You know, these, and what's crazy is, I'd speak personally for me, and I think all of them would rather try, I'm not trying to be insensitive, would rather try someone charged with murder than someone charged with these kind of cases. Right. And actually, someone convicted of murder actually has it easier than someone that's convicted of a sex crime, because when you're convicted of murder, you know, you go serve your time, unless you got life without parole or whatever. But if you get, you know, whatever your sentence, you serve it, you get out, you're done. Right. You know, if you're lucky enough to get some, get paroled out of jail, then you have to serve some time on parole. Most of them probably EOS is their sentence, which means they end their sentence, and they get out, may have to serve a little bit of time on probation, and they're done.
And if nobody knows about it,
you just move on and go on. You know, you're done. You say, I've served my time, I've paid my debts to society, and I'm going to move on. These guys are here charged, and gals, because females get charged too. Well, these types of crimes, man, it's just, your prison is the first part of it. Then you got to get out and deal with it the rest of your life.
256-737-9505 is a call-in line. If you want to ask Melvin a legal question of anything that's on your mind, give us a call. You're listening to Understanding the Law on Live 95.5. We are Coleman's Independent Radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. We've been talking about this this case against this young man in Hansville, sex case, and it's just... You know what, Melvin? Sometimes it's just too much for me to even talk about.
It is.
It really is. I mean, we can sit here and do two segments on it, and I'm like, man, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
It's just, I just can't handle it. I
mean, one of the things they always do in closing statements, the state does, they always talk about, you know, you're not going to see evidence of this. This is not, you know, we don't have any direct evidence of this because these are crimes that's committed in the closet. And it's true. You know what I'm saying? You don't commit these types of crimes outside so there's cameras and other witnesses or whatever else. They're always closets. So a jury is faced with trying to figure out, do I believe this child's version or do I believe this defendant's version of what happened? Because most of the time, even though the general rule is that a defendant never testifies, most of the time in these type of cases, they almost have to. They almost have to tell the jury, you know, that person's lying, and this is why they're making the story up. You know, a jury wants to know why would someone get up here and say that you did this stuff if you didn't do it.
So we spoke earlier about the... you know, the whole teacher thing and stuff like this. But let me tell you something. Over the last few months, I have seen it grow tremendously, the different articles that I have read. And you know what? About 90% of everything that I've read have been women teachers.
Yes.
And I'm like, what in the world's going on?
Yes.
And a lot of times, it's not that a female teacher is with a student. It's multiple students.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, and they're all, you know, supposedly happily married with kids. And, I mean, it's every week that I read another article about another teacher. So I don't get it.
They take a chance, and it does it. Because sometimes in different cases, when I'm talking to one of my clients, I'm like, what was you thinking when you did that? You know, there was somebody that was charged they were outside of the. I represent this guy. There's a vehicle parked outside of the jail, Coleman County Jail.
Oh my God!
This guy reaches inside of a vehicle and pulls a daggum purse out and steals a purse. Of course, in front of him, and people see it, and he's on tape. I'm like, what was you thinking? I mean, do you think he's going to be able to pull that off?
Right.
You know, somebody's probably seeing you, and you're at a jail. You're right in front of a jail. There's going to be cameras somewhere. It's like shoplifting in Walmart. You know, if you look up, them cameras are everywhere.
They are.
How do you think you're going to get by with stealing something from there? It's nuts. So with this teacher stuff, I mean, you're dealing with kids. Hey, if I'm a guy, let's just be honest. If I'm a guy and there's a teacher there that's older and I'm getting to have whatever fun, I'm going to brag about it to my buddies, you know, and if you're a girl and you're doing it, you're probably going to brag to your girls. And it's just like, are these adults really? I know they're not thinking, but Lord, are they just that stupid?
I know.
I mean, I mean, do they really think that it's going to be kept quiet? It's not going to get out in the public.
Because most everything that I read, all these female teachers, most of them are mid-20s.
Yeah.
It's rare that I've read any that were in their mid-30s, early 40s. They're all in their mid-20s, every one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, with you seeing this in the media like you do every week, and you're a teacher, why do you want to dive into that? Yeah. I mean, does everybody in America think that they just can't be caught?
Yes. Is there
that much stupidity?
Yes. Criminals or people that commits crime, and we all, I mean, I was thinking about this today, and I said something, and it probably is true. We've all committed crime. I mean, even though it's a violation, speeding's a violation, it's a crime. So everybody's a criminal. I don't know of anybody that is not a criminal. But some people commit more heinous crimes, and they really don't think, man, it is unbelievable. They just do some stupid stuff. They just do stupid things, and, you know, and the question is, do you get caught, or when are you going to get caught?
Right.
You know, when's it going to get back?
So I guess, you know, and I'm not a big social media person, you know, besides being on Facebook, stuff like that. Granted, I have once or twice had this little Snapchat thing and kept it for a day or two. You know, it's kind of silly to me, but most everything that I read is because of that Snapchat.
Or Instagram, something that because they think, hey, I can hurry up and hide. You know, this can be something that can be hidden real fast or go away. But
just to show my stupidity. I thought that with the Snapchat, that the pictures automatically disappear within 30 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about it.
I don't really know how they get evidence by Snapchat.
No, they don't.
Do they not? Okay, well, that's what I've always heard.
Facebook either.
What now?
Nor does your Facebook.
Well, I know Facebook.
Nor does your Instagram. Nor does any.
But I've always heard that Snapchat just disappears. So evidently I'm wrong.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, I'm wrong then.
Oh, no.
So, but I always see that in these cases that teachers are Snapchatting with the kids.
Yeah.
So I guess they're swapping pictures and.
Yeah, they do it. Yeah, they'll do it, you know, and different crimes. So, hey, PM me, you know, private message me, or whatever else, and they're exchanging pictures, comparing body parts and stuff. And I guess probably some of it comes about when you just screenshot it, you know, and it's saved on a phone.
Right.
So, you know, and you win the boys, and the other ones don't believe you. Like, oh, just wait a minute. I'll get her to send me something. I'll take a picture of it, and you'll see I ain't lying to you. So it's nuts, man. They're not smart. They all think they're smart. I'm talking about any type of criminal crime, whatever. They all think they're smart. They think they can outsmart the system, but they're going to get caught.
Right.
But do you not agree they all have ulterior motive going in?
You talking about any criminal?
Any criminal has ulterior motive going in.
Well, yeah, I mean, that goes without saying. They are trying to. They're trying to do something illegal. They're trying to get something for free, I guess.
I know it's Hollywood, and it's rare that I ever watch movies, but to me, the ultimate crime on just one show that I ever watched was Ocean's 11.
Oh, yeah.
When they're in Las Vegas, and yeah, I'm like, man, that was a cool little crime right there, and they got away with it, but that's rare.
Yeah, exactly.
It is rare.
That's rare. I don't know. You know, you would think, though, that some of these career criminals, and that's why they're career, by the way, because they get caught all the time, would actually sit back and try to think of something of how do I not get caught?
Yes.
You know, play a smarter game, but they're not, and everybody's stupid, and that does these crimes, and you know the saying is you're never above the law, and you're going to get caught, and that's what happens, and that's why we have a judicial system, that's how we have police departments, and it's a crazy world we live in.
And there are a lot of crimes that's good that people gets caught for. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is. It's even though I represent criminals, but there's a lot of them that needs to be caught, and it's good to be caught.
So,
I mean, for the benefit of society, for the benefit of me and you and people out here that's not committing crimes, but sometimes it's for benefit of themselves too. You know, I have, and I get some crazy looks from my clients, but I have told some of these burglars and stuff like that, I was like, you know, eventually it's going to catch up with you one day, because I've looked him in the eyes and told him before, I said, you know, if you came inside my house while I was there, I was like, you're dead. I said, you're dead, period. Exactly. I said, there's no questions asked. If you're inside of my house, you are dead. I said, I'm going to shoot you in a heartbeat. I don't care if you're running out the door, I'm going to shoot you because you shouldn't be inside my house committing a crime. So, you know, and I tell them, I said, you're going to get going to catch up with you eventually. Yep. And some of them it does.
Yep.
You know,
I don't get it.
Yep.
But, you know, I guess, you know, thank goodness for criminals. So, Melvin's got a job.
Yeah, I got a job, and sheriff's got a job, and so, judge has got a job. And
so, Daryl read something to me about a burglary.
Uh-huh.
At a fast food restaurant this past week.
No, it was several months ago, I believe. Ohio, two gangbangers, I guess, if that's what you want to call them. They go in Taco Bell, they whip out their pistols, and they walk up to the counter and says, this is a robbery, we want your money.
Yep.
Well, guess what? The three or four people back here behind the little camera.
I love it. I know what is going. They whipped out their pistols.
Three of them whipped out their pistols and says, well, I don't think so, and started shooting.
Yes.
Shot one, killed him.
Good.
And the other one got away.
Yeah.
So I'm like, really? People are packing at Taco Bell.
Yes. I love it.
Look, don't even ask for a free burrito, because these guys might whip out a 9mm on you.
Yeah, well, that is good. I do too. Listen, I mean, I'm a Christian, and I you know, I don't want nobody to die and go to hell, but some people deserve to be shot. And if you're gonna rob something, you're taking your life in your own hands. And there ain't nothing I love more than to read a story about someone in a store, something pulling a gun and just blowing something and then shooting someone.
And that was a good one.
Because how
much money are you going to get at Taco Bell?
I don't know.
$100, $150, really?
Yeah.
So,
hey, one more. I know we got to go, but let me tell you this: these sex crimes things, and I think our judges are going around to the schools. I've always tried to encourage it, and I hope that they are. You know, this is not isolated to just adults. You know, if you're a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, and you're messing around with a girlfriend, a boyfriend that's more than 2 years younger than you, then you're committing statutory rape.
Always see 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds dating 17-year-olds.
Because above 16. So the key is, that's why I said it's 17, 18-year-olds. You got to be a 17 or 18 year old, and the person's got to be a 15 or 14 year old. And that happens a lot. There's a lot of 17-year-olds that are dating 14-year-olds, whether you like it or not. There's a lot of them do it, and 18-year-olds dating 15-year-olds. And if you're touching, it's sexual abuse. If you're doing anything else, it's statutory rape. Mm-hmm. It is a crime. You're committing a crime. You're going to get in trouble and be a sex offender.
Wow.
For 10 years, yes. So times are different than where it was in the 70s and 80s and 60s and whatever else. But
in the 40s when my grandma and grandpa was getting married at 15 or 13 years old.
Yes, exactly.
And having 12 kids.
Yes. So, you know, now you won't see a 17 or 18-year-old on front page, unfortunately, like this guy ended up being a 20-year-old, but they do get charged with it. So you just have to be smart about what you're doing and make good decisions.
Exactly.
Because you can face something that can it can mess you up for the rest of your life, for at least 10 years of your life.
Exactly. Well, what's the saying? If you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Don't do the crime.
And if so, you'll be calling Melvin Hastings.
Yes.
He will hook you up. Just bring a couple $100 for a retainer fee. Is that what it's called, by the way? A retainer fee or something?
A retainer fee, yeah.
Look, I have never had a lawyer, as you can see.
I guess a couple $100 would get you a consultation.
Yes.
Going to trial on one of these, take a few
get
more
in
than
there
that.
And I'll give you some
a few more hundreds.
Yes, sir. Oh, man. You have been listening to Understanding the Law with Triple Threat Danielle, Coleman attorney Melvin Hasten, and Big D. You can check me and Danielle out on Thursday with the Big D Radio Show. We've got some new folks on what's happening in Coleman Facebook page. Some owners are going to be in here, and we're going to ask them about their business. I think they own a real estate business and like a boutique or something, so it's pretty cool. So check us out Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. on the Big D Radio Show. And we will catch you again next Tuesday for Understanding the Law at 6 p.m. For Melvin Hastings, Danielle, this is Big D. We will catch you next time.
Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown!
From our house to yours, the happiest of holidays.